The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. When the days were completed for their purification according to the law of Moses, the parents of Jesus took him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Just as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer the sacrifice of a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons, in accordance with the dictate in the law of the Lord. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, awaiting the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Christ of the Lord. He came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform the custom of the law in regard to him, he took him into his arms and blessed God, saying, "Now, Master, you may let your servant go in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in the sight of all the peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles, and glory for your people Israel." The child's father and mother were amazed at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be contradicted. And you yourself a sword will pierce, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived 7 years with her husband after her marriage, and then as a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day with fasting and prayer. And coming forward at that very time, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were awaiting the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had fulfilled all the prescriptions of the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The Gospel of the Lord. Family is one of those things that our culture seems to be trying to find a definition for. Many people have different definitions of what a family is. In fact, as many people as you talk to, I had one person say to me once, "I did not pick my family members." And I said to them, "But God did, right? So make it work." But family, especially this time of year, family can be a very difficult reality for many people. And when I approach the idea of family, I'm not thinking about any sort of civil distinction or something that we've put together ourselves. I mean, if the argument for the whole thing can go back to the truth that there is not a person on earth who didn't have a mother who was female and doesn't have a father who is male. It's the way God created us. Whether that father might be present or whether that mother might be attached to that child, that's not the point. The point is that this is how God has created the world. After the fact, people may claim different realities, but I use the phrase after the fact, right? The fact is this is how God started families. Parents have children attached to them as sons and daughters. Sometimes psychologically that does not happen, which is why such trauma can result when that attachment is not there. That doesn't mean that the family was flawed. It just means that as human beings, we're not perfect in fulfilling our roles. Many times I think we don't even understand what that role is. Well, God came to Abram. He said, "I am your shield, and I will make your reward very great." And Abram basically says, well, why bother? Because I don't have a descendant. I don't have an heir who to pass that reward on to. I'm childless. And God promises Abram, your own son will be your heir, and your descendants as numerous as the stars. I love that image of God walking Abram out under the sky and says, just look up. And I don't know if you've ever been to the desert, but when we go to Jordan on our Holy Land trips, we do a night in the desert at one of these desert Bedouin tent hotel kind of places. And there are no lights, and you go out and you see more stars than we even ever saw in Kansas. There's that many stars. And so God takes Abram out into the desert and says, just look up. You will have descendants even more numerous than these. This is how God created a family. And I'm not meaning just Abram and Sarah and Isaac. But this family has members as numerous as the stars in the sky. After God created this family, then the second reading, St. Paul talks about how Abram was even asked to give that up. I don't know if you've ever thought about the irony of this whole story, where this miracle child of Abraham is now, God asks Abraham to make a sacrifice of him to God. The second reading says, by faith, Abraham obeyed. He went, not knowing where God was sending him. He offered his only son, his miracle child, knowing somehow that God would sort all of this out. The reading says he reasoned that God was able to raise even from the dead, and he received Isaac back as a symbol. A symbol of what? The father who gives his only begotten son to be sacrificed? Maybe. He gave Isaac back to me as a symbol. So Abraham, his faith is in the action of his faith is to trust, because he found God to be trustworthy. You see, you can acknowledge God as being trustworthy, but if you don't trust in him, then that doesn't mean anything. Well, that promise made to Abraham was a promise made also to our older brothers and sisters, who we refer to as the Jewish people. God does not take back his covenants. God is faithful. God doesn't make mistakes. So we think in dialogue, we think of our Jewish ancestors, our Jewish brothers and sisters, literally as members of our family. There it is again. God created this family, didn't he? You don't choose your family, but they are your family. And although we might believe, and we do, that this family was fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ, that this tradition was all for a purpose, it was on a trajectory toward the salvation brought to us in Jesus Christ, fulfillment of that doesn't mean that what went before has gone bad. I think this has been the source of so much crisis and conflict in our world today, that we think somehow we got it as Christians and they didn't as Jewish people, and somehow that relationship that they have with God has gone sour. And that's not what we believe, because God doesn't take back his promise. God doesn't make mistakes. Truth is always truth. It doesn't change over time. So God creates this family wider than our generosity can even allow sometimes. It is possible that all God's children have equal importance in his eyes, that he has no favorites. Now we come to the Holy Family today. God creates a family. He chooses Mary. Mary says yes. He chooses St. Joseph. St. Joseph says yes. I think of St. Joseph in this context as a dreamer, not like somebody who's always chasing some impossible outcome, but as a person who literally has dreams where God speaks to him and he responds in trust and in faith, just like Abraham did. So they come to the temple to dedicate Jesus. Prescribed according to the law, all males were to be dedicated to God. I thought about this for a long time. Why wouldn't they also dedicate females? Because this whole thing is based on this inheritance thing. And at the time of Jesus, and at the time of Abraham, inheritance was very clearly based on the male heir, as are many cultures still today. So it was that way to take that inheritance, that heir who was to receive the promise of God, and to dedicate that child to God in the temple by making the proper sacrifice. It's the beginning of the family that is being dedicated to God. It's different from baptism because the sacrament itself focuses more on what the baptized person will receive. This is the act of consecrating our families to God. When I was growing up, I took great identity with this Holy Family. I realized that when my three brothers and I and my mom and dad showed up at church at the 7 a.m. Mass every Sunday wearing our coats and ties, that we were the Holy Family. And everybody thought, oh, there's that Holy Family. And I always thought to myself, if only they knew what happened after Mass was over in our house. Whoever didn't behave properly really got the business. So I don't think this is what the sense of what I'm talking about today. When we talk about the Holy Family, we don't define God according to ourselves. Otherwise, how limited God would be. But I'm talking about the human family, the Holy Family, the remarkable diversity in all of God's children, which alone can speak of his infinite beauty.